about it. There is a Bible in the pew in front of you, and I want to encourage you to take out that Bible and open it up to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Me and Pastor Kelly can tell you the word all day long. But there's something unique and there's something powerful in reading the Word of God for yourself right in front of you. So I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 33. This is where we're going to be today. And we're going to be talking about the encouragement of Jesus to his disciples and an encouragement for us to take heart as we head to a new year. But first, I'm going to ask, how would you describe your 2024? My goodness. You'll get there eventually. Just don't look at the screen. How would you describe your 2024? Change, okay. What about memorable? Maybe exciting? Maybe hurtful? Painful? Right? How would you describe your 2024? You see, all those words that may come to mind could also be you're expecting 2025. Are you expecting 2025 to be memorable? Are you expecting 2025 to be bold? Whatever you think this new year is going to be, by the grace of God and the power of Jesus Christ, we can take heart. See, for many, maybe the new year is kind of like this poem that I'll read from a woman named Ella Wilcox. It says, "What can be said in year rhymes that's not been said 1,000 times? The new year's come, the old years go. We know, we dream, and we dream that we know. We rise up laughing with light, and we lie down with the night. We hug the world until it stings. We curse it and then sigh for wings. We live, we love, we woo, we wed. We reap our rides, we sheet our dead. We laugh, we weep, we hope, fear, and that's the burden of a year." A lot happens in a year, and a lot will happen in this new year. But by the grace of God and the power of Jesus Christ through his word, we can take heart. So I want you to look now at chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, verse 33. The very last verse in this chapter, the very last verse of the farewell discourse. And read along with me in your Bibles as I read it aloud. John 16, verse 33. "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So the words of Jesus, the direct words of Jesus to his disciples that we get to meditate on and we get to walk through together as a church. But before we do that, we need to understand some important context. We need to understand why is Jesus saying this and what is happening in the scriptures before and after Jesus says this. What's going on? So one of the first points of context is this is the end of the farewell discourse. The end of the farewell discourse. The farewell discourse, as it's commonly referred to, is the Gospel of John chapter 13 through 16, where Jesus is eating dinner with his disciples, and it is one of the longest and last teachings and conversations that Jesus has with his disciples before the cross. So this is important. This is very important information that Jesus is sharing with them, because it's one of the last things he says to them before he goes to the cross. And so we need to understand that what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is telling us through his word is just as important for us as it was for them. But it was hugely important for them. So it was the last teaching that they would sit under before Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. And so another bit of context that's actually a couple verses before the verse that we're looking at is that Jesus plainly describes what is about to happen, and the disciples have this light bulb eureka moment that they understand what's going on. It's kind of interesting, and if you're in that situation, at least us, I feel like we would be like, really? Now you understand? But let's look at verse 28 of chapter 16. Verse 28. Jesus plainly says, I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And his disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Jesus is like, really? I've been with you 3 years and now you understand? Now you recognize who I am and what I'm telling you? This is important for us to know because right after this, we read the promise of God to take heart because he has overcome the world. So it's important to us to know that the disciples, they're tuned in. They're paying attention. They're listening because they now say, we get it. We got it. You're speaking plainly. You came from God because you are God incarnate. You came into this world to live a perfect life and die a gruesome death. You are leaving this world through your death, but you are going back to the Father through your resurrection. We get it. That's the gospel. Absolutely. So they're paying attention. They're tuned in, which means if they're paying attention and they're tuned in and Jesus has their attention, what he says after this is very important. What he leaves them with before he goes to the cross is very important. And that's the last bit of context that we need to remember as we look at this passage. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to die, be tortured, whipped, beaten, spit on. And so if it was important enough for Jesus to tell the disciples right before he went to the cross that he has overcome the world and to challenge them to take heart, why would that not be important for us? Why would that not be important for us? And so we're going to look at this passage again in light of the context. And we're going to understand what Jesus means by take heart. John 16, verse 33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When he says take heart, that is the Greek word theraseo, which means to be of good cheer, to have courage. It's used in the imperative, which means it's a command, not a suggestion. Jesus said, hey, take heart if you want, but if you don't, no big deal. No, Jesus is saying, take heart. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. No matter what you face, disciples, no matter what you will face, I have overcome the world. Church, no matter what you may face in 2025, Christ has overcome the world. And so we get to rest in that. We get to hope in that. We get to rejoice in that today as we walk through this passage. In the first part of the passage, Jesus talks about one way people. Jesus then warns them that because of their faith in him, they will be hated by the world. And Jesus has encouraged them that while they may be sorrowful in his death, while he is about to leave this world, he encourages them that they should rejoice because they will see him again. This is a general summary of what Jesus has told the disciples in this farewell discourse. And he says, I've said these things to you that you may have peace in me. I've told you who I am. I've told you and instructed you to love God and to love others. I've washed your feet to show that I love you. I've asked you to help other people. I've encouraged you by promising you that the Holy Spirit will come. Listen to my words. I have told these things to you that you may have peace. Psalm 119 declares that in the words of God, abundant peace comes. Psalm 119, 105 says, abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. Peace. Peace is found in Christ alone and is revealed to us through his gracious word. And we get to access that word, guess what? For free. You don't have to pay a dollar every time you open this book. You don't have to write a check to Southside Baptist Church every time you open the Bible. The Bible is the free gift to us of God's revelation of himself. And we get to access it every day. And yet in times of stress and in times of hardship and in times of suffering or tribulation, we want to access everything else but the Word of God. And so we find and try and strive to find peace and so many other things. But Richard D. Phillips, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, says a beautiful, beautiful quote. He says, "Knowing Christ's loving care for us through his word gives peace to our hearts." You see, when we dwell with God through his word, his living and active word, we get peace in our hearts. And so no matter what may come, no matter what challenges may arise in the new year, we can take heart because we have the word of God. Jesus has revealed to you how much he loves you. Jesus has revealed to you how he is here for you and will never forsake you. Jesus has revealed to you that no matter what happens, you can take heart, and it's all right here. And so we get to rest in that. We get to celebrate that. Maybe you yourself are encouraged in this new year to actually do what your mind is telling you to do all the time, to get into the word, that Jesus may refresh you, may help you, may restore you, and give you courage as you go into this new year. But another thing that we need to keep in mind when we take heart in Christ's peace is we need to understand that his peace is the only lasting and sustainable peace you will have on this earth. He says the very next sentence in John 16:33, after he says, "I've said these things to you, I've given you my word," why? "That you in me may have peace." That in me you may have peace. Peace is found in Christ alone. I hate to break it to you. Peace is not found in sitting on the couch and binging Netflix. Peace is not found in a sinful addiction that you turn to every single time you're stressed or overwhelmed. Peace is not found in buying all of these wonderful things, spending money on all of these experiences. Peace is not truly found in those things. It may be a moment, but it will never be lasting. And the peace that Christ offers us is lasting beyond measure. And he even mentions this in his own farewell discourse. In John 14, verse 27, he says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Notice, "not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What a beautiful statement that Jesus is telling his disciples in light of the fear that they have that he is about to leave. "I will give you peace, and it will not be as the world gives." Southside, peace is not found in this world. If you are trying and striving to find peace and rest in that feeling that everything is going to be okay in anything else other than Jesus, it will let you down. But because of the greatness of God, the goodness of God, he has told us that we can rest in him forever, through our circumstances on this earth and with eternity in heaven. We can rest in him. He gives us peace. He gives you peace today. And so in light of that peace, we can take heart in the new year. Paul exhorts the Colossian church in Colossians 3:15 to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." This should get us excited. This should give us courage. This should help us be of good cheer as we look forward to 2025. We have the ability to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We have the ability to, no matter what comes in this new year, Because of Jesus and who he is, we can sit there in the midst of the storm and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And that's the peace that Christ gives us when we surrender our lives to him. And you may be sitting here yearning for rest. You may be sitting here yearning for peace, yearning for the silence, for the noise of this world, the stresses of this world to abide. And they may for a moment, but because of the world we live in, they will come back. But if you place your faith in Christ and who he is and what he's done, he offers you peace in the midst of everything you may face in this new year. In the midst of all the stresses, in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all the potential hardship, in the midst of the joys and the excitement and the celebration, you can still have peace. And you could take heart because of that, because of who he is. So I have a question for you in light of Jesus' statement that we can have peace in him. What are you looking to for peace? What are you turning to? Your cell phone? Your TV? Your spouse? Chip shakes his head. No, I caught that. Chip is an anti-technology. So as soon as I said TV, he was like, absolutely not. No way. So what are you turning to? A book? Books are good. I love to read. I had a goal this year of 30 books and I almost made it. But are you turning to this book? Or are you turning to other books? What are you turning to find peace? I'm here today to encourage you of the truth that will never truly give you lasting peace. Peace is found in Christ alone. So I want you to think about where you are looking for peace. Write those down in your sermon notes, in your bulletin. What are you looking for peace? How can you surrender those things to God, give them up, and realize while they may give you momentary peace, they will not actually satisfy your soul that craves peace that is found in the one who has created you, the one who has redeemed you, the one who has offered you, if you don't know him, salvation today. And so we see in this verse of John chapter 16, verse 33, we see the first point that we can take heart. We can be of good courage. We can be of good cheer. We can be excited for the new year because no matter what may come, we can have peace in Christ because he has revealed to us through his word how much he loves us and what he has done for us. But there's another sentence in this verse that we need to look at to give us proper expectations of what's to come. And it gave the disciples proper expectations of what's to come. John 16, 33, look back at the verse in your Bibles. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. The next sentence, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So church, breaking news. Breaking news. The newspapers are reporting it. Fox News, CNN, they're all reporting it. I will say that sounded much better in my head than it came out. But you know what I mean. Walter Cronkite has interrupted this program to give you breaking news. You will have tribulations in the new year. But is that really breaking news? It shouldn't be. But we go into a new year excited. Let's go. New Year's goals, New Year's resolutions, and then something happens. And we're shocked. We're surprised. Church, the world we live in should not surprise us that in this new year of 2025 coming up, there will be hard times. For some, they may be big. For some of us, they may be small. For some of us, they may be momentary. For some of us, they may last all year. But you will have hard times. If you don't have that proper expectation, if you go into this new year thinking everything is going to be rosy, you'll be let down. But if you go into this new year properly expecting that there will be times of hardship, is the expectation you can set that you can also say, there will be times where I need Jesus more than anything, and he will be there. But we need to understand, we need to embrace the truth that this new year, there will be difficulties. And so in the Psalms, Psalm 23, verse 4, we like to read it, we like to say it over and over again. But verse 4 is significant because verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice, it doesn't say, even though I walk through the green and grassy fields and I eat all day long. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you may feel like you're walking through that now. Some of you may feel like you walked through that this year. Some of you may be afraid of walking through that in the new year. But I want you to be encouraged by the truth of Scripture that David asserts that even though I may walk through the valley, because there will be valleys, you are with me, you comfort me, and in you I find peace. We could take heart in that. We can be courageously approaching this new year because of that truth. He will walk with us. He will be with us because of his power. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You see, church, we need to stop thinking that suffering is necessarily a punishment for us. God can absolutely use suffering and hardship to punish us for our sins. But if we are found in Christ, and his great love for us, if we have surrendered our life to this wonderful Savior, that does not mean that we won't have suffering, but it means that through that, we can grow closer to him. Through that, by his grace, he can restore us. He can confirm us. He can strengthen us. He can establish us. If your life was completely rosy and everything worked out, many of you might not even be here today. Because we can only turn to God sometimes when we need him, when it's hard. But if our lives were rosy, if our lives were all good, we might not think we need God. We might not think we want to be with God. And so we would spend our Sundays doing something else. But we need to have proper expectations that in this new year, we will have trials, but we can rest in the truth of God's word, that because of him and our faith in him, he will strengthen us, he will establish us, he will confirm us, he will restore us through the trials and tribulations. They also produce in us endurance. Romans 5:3 says not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Hardship, trials, stressful moments give you the opportunity to rest in Christ. And when he helps you through them, the next one's not as hard. The next trial, the next tribulation, the next stressful moment isn't as difficult because we have gone through it with our Savior, and we can endure whatever comes. It reminds me of a painting that I saw online in reference to this passage. There's ocean as far as the eye can see, and it's on the coastline, and the waves are beating, the storms are coming, lightning and pouring rain and thunder, and there's a huge rock on the shoreline. And in that rock, there's a big crevice where a dove has made its nest. And so in that storm, that dove feels the effects of it. It feels the wind, it feels the rain, it hears the thunder. It may even be afraid a little bit, but it is secure in that rock. It cannot go anywhere. It cannot be swept away. It can endure the storms that come because it is secure in that rock. And that is what we have to take heart in. We have the rock of Jesus Christ that we can take heart in, that no matter what comes in this new year, we can sit with our Lord and we can know that even though the storm may affect us, it will be okay. And so even though Jesus promises in this year that you will have hardship, I want to rejoice in the last sentence of our verse. Because although it is a promise that we'll face hard times, there's a greater promise right after. There's a greater truth right after. Jesus says to his disciples in John 16:33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But the greater promise, the greater truth is this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You will face trials, but take heart. I have overcome the world. What a beautiful promise of Jesus Christ. The last thing he said to the disciples before he went to the cross, you will face trials and tribulations, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Southside, in 2025, you will face trials and you will face tribulations, but take heart. Be encouraged. Be of good cheer, because Christ, your Lord and your Savior, has overcome the world. And so the second point is we can take heart in the new year for the simple truth of Scripture. Christ has overcome the world. You see, too often we overcomplicate Scripture. We try to dig in sometimes to Jesus's words and find meaning that's not there. And sometimes Scripture is very simple. We can take heart. Because Jesus has overcome the world. He says it plainly. He says it clearly. We can rest in that. And let's understand the gravity of what he said by looking at some of the key words. When we look at overcome, the Greek word overcome is nikeo, which means to subdue, to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, to get the victory. You see, oh, he's overcome. Great. No, Jesus has prevailed over the world. Jesus has subdued the world. Jesus Christ has conquered the world. Jesus Christ has overcome and gotten the victory over this world and all of the world. You see, too, when we think of the word world, we think of the little Bible song, he's got the whole world in. Come on, sing it with me. He's got the whole world in his hands. But when we sing that, we think of this little earth, right? Right? The word used here for the world is cosmos. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Have you heard that word before? In our English language, when we use the word cosmos, what do we usually use to describe cosmos? The earth? Everything. The universe, the stars, the moons, the expanse of it all. That's how we use the word cosmos. That's how it's used here. Cosmos is the orderly arrangement by implication of the world in a wide sense and in a narrow sense, including its inhabitants literally and figuratively. Jesus has overcome the earth, yeah? He's overcome it all. He's the creator of it all. He's the sustainer of it all. He's the ruler of it all. He's overcome that for us, for you, for you. Does that shape how we go into this new year? Does that encourage us as we walk into 2025? Jesus has overcome it all for you. In light of your trials, and in light of your tribulations. In Romans chapter 8, Paul has a beautiful passage of scripture that we read often, but sometimes we fail to take to heart. And I want to encourage you with this passage today in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Southside, in 2025, what will you go through that will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ? Distress, hardship, famine, persecution, hardships mentally, emotionally, physically. Name one thing in here that will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ if you have given your life to him as your Lord and Savior. Nothing. Not one thing. Not one thing in this new year that will come your way that you will struggle with will be able to take you away from the love of Jesus Christ if you have given your life to him. I don't know about you, but going into this new year, that encourages me. That gives me hope. Because no matter what I may face, I know that I will not be taken away from my Savior. Because it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through him who loved you. Rest in that. Take heart in that. Be of good courage and good cheer in that as we go into this new year. The Apostle John also describes this in 1 John 5:4. He says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Not our faith in Buddha, not our faith in each other, not our faith in our spouses or our kids, our belief, our trust, our faith. Our undying commitment to him helps us overcome the world. And it will help you overcome whatever you may face in the new year. We can take heart in that and rejoice in that. We can be of good courage for 2025. 1 Peter 3:22 also says about Jesus, his authority. He says, who has gone into heaven, who being Jesus, has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. The Savior of the world who died for you and for me and also died for you in here today that may not know him or love him. He is ruler over it all. He has everything subjected to him. That includes whatever you may face in the new year. Whatever you may face in the new year is under his control. It is under his rule. It is subjected to him. Man, would that encourage us this new year? Would that get us excited to approach a new year because of who he is and what he's done and the power that he has? Jesus Christ has all of that subjected under him, even the circumstances we may face. And so why would I want to put any of that in my hands or your hands? Why would I want to figure out how to overcome these stressful situations, these hardships mentally, physically, emotionally? Why would I want to figure out how to handle all of that in my own hands? Because in his hands, he has overcome. And so my last encouragement to you is this quote on the screen from a pastor who loved his people so much. He exhorted them, he encouraged them to run to Christ. And that is my exhortation to you. That is my plea to you as someone who loves you in this new year. Would we take heart because we can run to Jesus Christ? Charles Spurgeon says this, be of good cheer, he saith. I, something about himself, Jesus, I have overcome the world. Listen to these words, brothers and sisters. So then, beloved, in all times of depression of spirit, hasten away to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever the cares of this life burden you and your way seems hard for your weary feet, fly to the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be and there are other sources of consolation, but they will not at times serve your turn. But in him there dwelleth such a fullness of comfort that whether it be in the summer or in the winter, the streams of comfort are always flowing. in your highest state, in your lowest state. And from whatever quarter your trouble may arise, you can report at once to him, Jesus Christ, and you shall find that he strengthens the hands that hang down and confirms the feeble knees. This is what your Savior offers to you in this new year. Run to me, come to me, fly to me, I will give you rest. In the hardships, in the difficulties that you may experience in this new year, run to Christ. He will give you peace because he has overcome the world. In light of the truth of God's word, would we be excited for a new year? Would we be excited that no matter what we may face, we have Jesus Christ by our side? No matter what we may face, the Savior of the world is walking through that with you, holding you, comforting you, helping you. So take heart. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Be excited for a new year because you're not going through this year alone. But you may be in here and you may feel like you've gone through it alone your whole life. And I want to express to you, it doesn't have to be that way. By the grace of God, Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died a gruesome death that I and you might live, that you may be brought from death in your sins to life in Christ. And it is a free thing that he did that you and I don't deserve. And he went to the cross, he died a gruesome death, he then rose from the grave, forever defeating death and promising that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And because of faith in Christ, we have the promise of God to be with us, to strengthen us, to help us through this life until we spend eternity with him forever. And that free gift, that free offer is available to you who've been living your life all by yourself, alone, exhausted, lacking peace, lacking comfort, lacking happiness and joy, lacking a purpose for your life. It's a free gift that is offered to you now and offered to you for all of your time. Would you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ that he may give you life and life abundantly, that he may rescue you from the depths of your despair, the depths of your sin, the depths of your shame, and give you new life through him and his death. That is offered to you today, to surrender, to follow the prompting on the Holy Spirit on your heart and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And when we make that surrender, those of us who have experienced that, we know that God himself has saved us and redeemed us, and we turn from our sin, we turn from the ways we think we have it in control, and we begin to pursue and follow Jesus and live a beautiful life with him. And so if you don't know him, I plead with you, there is no greater love, there is no greater gift than the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to ask God into your life, and your life will be forever changed. And I want to encourage you to talk to myself, talk to one of our deacons, talk to any members of our church, to pray with you, to help you understand what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ and live a life for him. As we close, on the back of your sermon notes, you have three reflections, kind of like homework, because a lot of us can come in here on a Sunday morning and hear a passage and a sermon from me and Pastor Kelly, and it goes in one ear and out the other. So here's a challenge to you. Here's a challenge to you to fully embrace the word of God that was shared with you today. Number one says, write down three ways in which Christ gives you peace. What are three ways in which Jesus Christ can give you peace? Write those down. And then look at those things and ask yourselves, are these things better than what I have been turning to for my peace? And I'll give you a hint. The answer is yes. They are. What are three ways in which Jesus Christ today and in this new year gives you peace? Number two, memorize scripture. The word of God is powerful and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And when it's in us, when the word of God is in us, it changes everything. We can memorize songs, we can memorize movie quotes, we can memorize all sorts of things. If we actually put the effort into memorizing scripture, your life will be forever changed. And so I want to challenge you to memorize John 16:33. That whenever the hardship or the trial comes, you can remember in your mind, you can close your eyes and say, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. How much more will that help you than a Netflix show? How much more will that help you than a good TED Talk? That will help you richly in those moments. So I want to challenge you to memorize the word. And number three, I want to challenge you to write down something that you may be afraid of in the new year. Surrender that to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sovereign over that. He has overcome that. And you may not feel that overcoming in this world or in the time period that you want to overcome that, but he has overcome that. And so surrender that to God and trust that Jesus is with you no matter what happens. He will hold you through whatever hardships may come in this new year. So what are you afraid of in the new year? Write it down. What are you afraid of in the new year? There's a crocodile in here. What are you afraid of in the new year? Are you afraid of crocodiles? I know I would be. What are you afraid of? Is that thing you're afraid of more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. So trust it to him. Entrust it to him. Whatever you're afraid of in this new year, entrust it to him. So I want to close with a passionate plea to you all. Brothers in here, my brothers in here, take heart. Take heart in this new year because the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome whatever you may face. Sisters in the room, take heart in this new year because the truth of God's word declares that Jesus Christ has overcome whatever you may face. And for those of you in here who don't know Jesus Christ, I encourage you to take heart. Because you can know him and he can change your life forever as he has mine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word.